Attention all Vinyl Guide listeners, please be warned that today's episode of the Vinyl Guide contains a lot of curse words. I mean a lot. I mean, if you're listening with kids or have sensitive ears, I suggest you listen to something a bit tamer, like the Wolf of Wall Street audiobook or something like that. Oh, man. Okay, consider yourself warned. Now, on with the show.
Hi, I'm Wally from The Exploited, and you're listening to The Vinyl Guide.
Do you listen to and collect vinyl records? Well, you're in luck. Welcome to The Vinyl Guide, the podcast made for record nerds like yourself. Here's your host, the biggest record nerd of them all, Nate Goyer.
Hey everyone, it's Nate here. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for vinyl record fans and music nerds. We talk directly to the artists and the influencers themselves, try to get all their stories. Not all our artists know a lot about their vinyl history, but it's interesting to explore it anyway. Today's episode is apparently brought to you by the letters F and C, as well as the middle finger gesture, courtesy of Wadi of The Exploited. And we are brought to you by show sponsor Seems Easy. If you dig for records, get a pack of Seems Easy record jacket repair strips. They seal up seam splits in record jackets, and they'll make a ratty old record jacket function good as new. Don't use tape to repair your record jacket. What are you, a moron? Get a Seems Easy sleeve repair kit and fix it right. That's seamseasy.com. That's 2 Z's, seamseasy.com. They have 10 packs, 25 packs, and for record stores and vinyl dealers, 100 packs of these record jacket repair sleeves. They are really great. They work well. Get them now so you have them when you need them. That's seamseasy.com. Now, this week we speak to Wadi of The Exploited, and I'm going to be very honest up front. I'm going to let you know two things. Number one, Wadi's accent can be very difficult to get through, especially if you haven't spent much time with Scottish people. Fortunately, I have, which is why I'm able to get through most of it. And I'll be very honest, it wasn't always easy for me. I missed the occasional phrase, but it's totally worth it when you listen to what Wadi's got to say. He's got some amazing stories. Towards the end of the interview, he talks about a record label owner who wrote the band a bad check for the album Let's Start a War, and the story of what the band did to this guy features baseball bats and balaclavas, so make sure you stick around for that. Also, item number two, as warned up front, this episode features a lot of cursing. So if you have kids listening, be warned, hit the pause or the off button now. I'll give you a couple of seconds. Just to be clear, there is a lot of cursing. Not that you could understand it all, but it's certainly there. Look, The Exploited were never a shy band. Their last album was called Fuck the System, and that's pretty much sets the standard for the type of conversation we have today with Wadi. And to be 1,000% clear, Wadi is truly one of a kind. His punk ethos are intact, and he's as determined as ever to be heard on his own terms. I don't think any other musician, punk or not, has the credibility and respect that Wadi has. And very few people, musicians or not, have the authenticity that Wadi has. And if you're not familiar with what's been happening with Wadi lately, especially health-wise, we are very lucky to have him still walk among us. Look, Wadi was never an example of a healthy lifestyle. He drank a lot. He took a lot of drugs over the years. In 2014, he had a heart attack on stage, which you can actually see on YouTube. Wadi's had several heart operations over the last few years. He's now stopped all his drugs, stopped drinking, which wasn't easy, as he'll share today. But now he's getting fit, and hopefully he's going to be with us for a few more decades and hopefully a few more albums. Wadi and The Exploited are coming down to Australia and New Zealand for much of the month of March. Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Gold Coast, Brisbane, Sydney, Nairobi, Newcastle, Canberra, Melbourne, Geelong, Adelaide, Perth. Get ready for 40 years of chaos with The Exploited. Get tickets now and see what may be their very last Australian tour. davidroywilliams.com or Google Exploited Australia, New Zealand, and you'll find the links there. So here we go. Let's get into our conversation with Waddy. And just a reminder, you may have to rewind a few times here and there to ensure you hear the verbal gold that Waddy is sharing. It's well worth it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vinyl Guide interview with Waddy of the Exploited. Back from the dead today here on the Vinyl Guide. We are talking with Waddy of the Exploited. Waddy, great to speak with you, man. How you feeling these days?
It's glad to be alive, eh? So
yeah,
every day is a bonus.
Yeah, it's been a rough few years, but you're looking better, mate. Healthier, thinner. Are you enjoying yourself, or has it been a bit of torture?
Yeah, been torture. I had to go through it to get. To get fitter so I can do gigs. My life was a mess. Again, last 6 years, my life's been a mess. Like five heart attacks, quad heart bypass, fucking gastric bypass, fucking pacemaker. But getting better. I had an operation last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But
what was the one last week?
But I'm okay.
Yeah.
So every day is a bonus. I'm getting better, getting fitter, so I can do gigs and. Looking forward to coming over to Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, we can't wait to have you, man. That's great. Well, it sounds like you're being held together with gaffer tape. But you'll make the trip.
It's not far off, eh? I'm just covered in bandages right now. But
you're looking all right. So what are you doing?
I'm not complaining because, like I say, I've lost the... I'm just lucky to be alive, eh? So every day is a bonus, and... I get to come and tour and do gigs, so I'm fit enough to go and do gigs and that, and put and do 100% shows. So that makes it all good.
That's great. When's the last time you were in Australia?
5 years ago.
5 years ago. Okay. So it's going to be a much different trip this time. So what do you do? What's your routine now? Are you eating healthier? Are you doing the tofu?
I had a gastric bypass 2 years ago. I was 18 and a half stone, now I'm like 12 stone 2, so I lost like 65 kilos, so I've changed my diet, changed what I can eat, almost stopped drinking, I used to drink a bottle of vodka every 2 nights, so I had to...
Now it's every 4.
Calm down a bit, but I'm doing good, so fucking, I had to make a lot of life-changing decisions the last 6 years. Otherwise, the band would have been fucking... The band would have been packed in because I wouldn't have been fit enough to do gigs. But now I am. Now I'm fucking pretty fit and quite healthy apart from all the scars. What was the scars? I look like Frankenstein, but fucking... but it doesn't interrupt us. I'm not bored with it. I don't really care about the scars. I'm like a roadmap.
Well, the scars.
True, but I don't care because I'm healthy. I'm still alive. I'm getting to come. I'm starting. We just done 3 months of gigs last year. Last six months. We've done South America. We've done America, Canada, all over Europe. Just before Christmas, yeah. So
now, is it easier to do gigs now that you're a bit thinner, or is it a little bit tougher?
Yeah, miles. I was fucking fat as fuck because I was ill. I used to 24 years. I done drugs every day for 34 years and speed every day for 34 years. And then I stopped 6 years ago. Then I had like fucking 5 heart attacks.
Wow.
Right, and put on loads of weight. Then to get rid of it, then I had all these other problems, and because I got rid of it, then I had a gastric bypass, which then I almost died in theatre because I took a reaction to the anaesthesia. That was 2 years ago, and then I lost all the weight, and now I'm thinner. Now I'm skinnier than what I was when I was 20. So, that's a fact. So, but it's been hard work. It's It's been a lot of exercise, and a lot of changing my diet, and a lot of medical fucking procedures. But I feel better for it, and now I can do gigs. I'm fucking got loads of energy. I can do gigs 100%. And that's what I aim for. I aimed to be able to get better. Cause I felt embarrassed. When I was really fat as fuck. I felt so embarrassed. The way I looked and the way I felt, and I felt like fucking killing myself because I was that depressed the way I look, the way I was. Because that's not how I was. But then I got fucking, I was so ill, really ill, that I felt like killing myself for a while. So I had to make choices, do something about it or die. So I changed my whole life. I got these operations done, got major surgery done, started exercising, changed my diet, changed my drinking, stopped all my shit life, and now I'm fucking doing gigs. I'm better than ever, so
that's great.
It's a good thing.
Well, look, congratulations, man. That takes so much willpower to really change the person.
It was really, really hard mentally, really, really hard. But then I feel better looking at the mirror. In fact, I just did a picture of myself to Russia 2 minutes ago. Somebody posted a picture of Russia three years ago. And I was like, I just saved that because they fucking were fat as fuck. Totally what a fucking monster I looked. It's a fact, I can't deny what I look like. I was looking like a fucking monster, fat cunt. And I just see that before you phoned. I just see it on Facebook and I just saved it. I keep the fat pictures to remind myself what I was like and never to go back to that again.
Do you put a picture like that on your refrigerator?
I never put the refrigerator. I'll keep it on my computer. Most people just delete them, but I keep it to remind myself how fucked I was and how lucky I am still to be alive. So and where I've got and how I am now, I'm like fucking, it's like night and day. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I'm skinnier now than what I was when I was fucking 20.
So you're skinnier than you were when you were 20. Are you angrier than you were when you're 20?
I'm not as angry now because I was really angry for all these years, but still I get angry, but I do get angry. I take, after all my life, death life experiences, I appreciate life, and I try not to get as angry as fucking about things as what I used to. Mm-hmm. But I still, music wise, I'm still angry, but like in my personal life, I try to be a nicer person.
And you guys were politically outspoken really from day one, and I would imagine today with the madness there is, you certainly have some opinions on that, yeah?
So I have loads of opinions on it. Like the fucking Donald Trump over here, we've got Boris Johnson. He's a total fucking rich fucking wanker. And you've got Donald Trump, who's a fucking total fucking liar as well. Mm-hmm. All these people in all these governments in British and American that with so much power, they lie fucking constantly, lies about everything. They get caught lying and they got nothing gets done. It's just fucking, it's heartbreaking. It's like I bring my kids up to tell them never like my pet hate in life is fucking liars. I've been lied to through my whole life, and it affected my life when I was young. Mm-hmm. People lying to me. And I fucking hate liars. And that's one thing. I could be a pure cunt and I'm not the nicest of persons, but one thing I never am is a liar. And one thing I brought my kids up on is like, if they ever lie to me about anything, even no matter how fucking stupid they lie to me about anything, I'll never ever have nothing to do with them. I'm only believe a word that they ever tell me. So. But to go back to your point, I've been angry. The governments, like both UK governments, fucking total lying bastards, fucking American governments, total lying cunts. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Syria, fucking all these people are getting fucking massacred in Syria, and nothing's getting done about it. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. I could talk to you about things like this for 8 hours, eh?
Now, back in the day, being so politically outspoken, did the exploited ever come under government scrutiny? Especially, like, did you get the attention of Margaret Thatcher or any of the higher-ups those days?
Well, I used to have a CID. I used to have a CID at my door. Mm. I used to, They don't so much with politics, it's maybe they were threatening people, burn their houses down and that. But I phoned up the White House in America, I phoned them up to talk to Ronald Reagan, and was on hold for about 50 minutes or something, and then eventually they said, oh, Ronald Reagan, the president isn't here at the moment, to leave a message. I phoned Ronald Reagan, I was in my face, to see my face on speed, and so I was just phoning the president up, not thinking about the consequences. I'm glad I never said anything stupid that I'm going to fucking kill you or that, because I wouldn't be here now.
Now, in the early days, growing up in Edinburgh, what were the records? What was the music that put you on the path?
Well, I grew up on bands like T-Rex and David Bowie. But one person I used to have total respect as a bit, my favourite singer, is a guy called Alex Harvey.
Yeah.
Sensational Alex Harvey band. The Scottish band, and the guys, like, when I grew up, a lot of the bands, local bands and the punk bands, would sing with American, or the singers would always sing with an American accent or English accent, because they thought that's get them more popular and they get further on. Mm-hmm. But this guy, Alex Harvey, used to sing with a Scottish accent, and I used to respect that, and I'm the same, I always sing. Always, well, you can tell I've got a Scottish accent. Mm-hmm. Always sing with a Scottish accent. I never try to pretend put an English accent on or American accent on. And so I grew up. He was one of my favourite singers, music wise. Vocal, but punk wise, the best. The Pistols got me into punk. Wasn't the Pistols? That's what started it. Mm-hmm. Then the Damned, and then there's a guy called Johnny Moped. And the guy doesn't sing, he just goes, oh! He just like talks at that. That's what he's saying, just like, he makes a noise. And I thought, I can do that. That's what I'm like, I can make a noise. And that's why I started singing in a punk band. Because I could do that, no, just making a noise at that.
Was it always vocals, or did you try an instrument at any point?
No, I used to play Belson with a gas, and Pistols, wrong Six Pistols song, and the UK sub song Warhead, on one chord, that's how I could play one chord on bass. But to me, that people go, that's great, and I go, that's fucking shit. It's only one chord, but to me, that's what punk was. It doesn't matter about being talented. It's like the main punk natural idea of punk is like, it's like being an individual doing what you want to do, not following what other people want expect you to be. That's like anything in life. That's what I took for punk. It's like, be your own person, do what you want to do. Don't have to follow other people or do things because other people will do things. You do things for yourself.
Right.
It's like drugs. Like I've never ever smoked. When I was young, it was like there was drugs and it was smoking. If you wanted to be part of the gang and be cool, you had to smoke. I've never ever smoked. Never ever in my life. And the fucking the drugs, but then it's like, I always do things. I never do things because of other people or peer pressure or. When I was young, I never do things because other people do it. I always done something, if I liked it, I'll do it, I'll take it. If I didn't like it, I want to do it. And vice versa.
You seem to, from a very young age, to be very clear in what was acceptable to you and what wasn't. Where so many other bands have started off with a punk ethos, but then drifted away. But you and the Exploited
we're the only punk band that's never changed their music. I can't think of any. Maybe you can correct me, but I can't think of any punk band. He's never ever changed the music. He's stuck to what they believed in all these years, and still play the same music, and never changed their attitude. Never conform to what the system wants. I can't think of any other band. The only band that I know it's been true to that is us.
Yeah,
but it's me and myself.
I'm struggling.
And then sometimes it's because we could have made a lot of money. Could be a lot of money fucking doing commercial stuff. I've been offered like fucking thousands of pounds. I got offered in the early days. I got offered fucking loads of money to do commercial stuff for that. And I said, to stick up your ass. And it's And a lot of the things I've done in 40 years, I could have done things better. I could have done things to make life a lot easier for myself, a lot of things, but I've never ever done it because I always believe in, I don't know why, but it's just like, I've got principles and I've always got, maybe it's just old school, but I believe in what your word is. Your word is the only thing you've got in life that means anything to anyone is your word. Everyone's got, that's the only thing you've got amongst you that's worth anything, it's your word. Mm-hmm. And so I think we, especially punk bands, punk music, a lot of it's to do with lyrics and what people, it's all to do with like social issues. And people believe, a lot of people believe in what you write, so they can relate to what you're saying. But I know for a fact, there's loads of bands that actually printed all these lyrics about what they believe, and people would believe in what they believe, and the band didn't actually believe in it. Right? The band, what they were singing about and writing about was totally the opposite of what they were about as a person. I just thought, and then I'd meet all these bands on a personal level, and I know them, and I think, what wankers. All these people believe in you, and you're just taking the piss at them.
Does it frustrate you how the name, or how the word punk has evolved over the last 30, 40 years?
When punk started, it was an angry music. It was like, because back in the early 70s, 80s, in the UK, when it started, there was so much poverty. It's hard to explain to people, like younger people now. Back then, there was so much poverty. When punk music came out, it was angry. I thought at the time, punk still was the class. I thought it was all angry, really fast. But it was faster music compared to what was exploited. That would be like fucking a million times more violent and faster than it. But the underlying of the music, what was behind the music was anti-social. And what that did was kick off, at the time there was thousands of bands, hundreds of bands that were exploited, just small local bands who were playing harder and faster. But we believed that it was a voice. The music was like, it gave us a voice to express our anger on the streets with the poverty and unemployment and stuff. And nowadays you get punk music, it's like pop punk and that, and Green Day. All these bands are fucking shit. They might make a lot of money, but they're fucking shit. They're total fucking shit. It means fuck all. That's what punk's about. Punk music is real punk music is angry, anti-fucking social music. It's meant to be there for social issues, to voice your opinion against the governments, against injustice. To give the working class a voice. That's what punk music is. It's totally different to other music.
So it's pretty clear that there are a lot of bands that you don't like. Who are some bands?
that's putting it mildly. It's easier to ask what bands I do like.
Exactly. Who? What bands do you think are doing it right?
Dude, younger bands are still got good energy. There's bands called Face Up, band called The Vial, bands you've never heard of, bands Certified. So bands from the UK, real punk bands or like real underground bands. These bands are good. Mm-hmm. There's bands in Russia called SPK who were really good, and there's a band in France called Black Bombay, a French hardcore band. They are absolutely fucking brilliant. There's loads of good bands, but I think to be a real punk band nowadays, it's mostly clubs you're playing or underground clubs you're playing. A lot, because you've got that much pop TV and radio stations that just like play pop shit all the time.
Yeah.
And they're not interested. A lot of radio stations, they're not interested in like real punk music. Mm.
Now, in the early days, you guys made your own record company, the Exploited Record Company.
No, we never really. What? That's another thing. What happened was, some guys say we'll name the record company Exploited because of the name, but we never owned it. We never owned it. We never got a fucking penny for it.
Oh no. Okay. All right. Are you able to still have control of those songs and where they go, or is that still
no? All the early stuff like Punks Are Dead, Troops Tomorrow, all these albums like fucking video, like they get nothing really from them. The last four albums we've done, Death Before Dishonor, The Massacre,
Beat the Bastards,
and Fuck the System. Like I got the rights back to them. I licensed him to a German company.
Nuclear Blast.
Yeah. I licensed that to him. But that cost me, I had to sue my old record company. That cost me £35,000 to sue them.
Jeez.
To get the rights back to the songs.
So Let's Start a War. I
took them to the High Court.
So you don't have rights for Let's Start a War?
No, that's on
PAX.
That's on Cherry Red. I don't know why they still got the rights to that, but they have. I just didn't really bother anymore. I didn't really bother. They've got the rights to that still.
I imagine it's been years since you've seen a check from that one. Yeah, oh, it's a fantastic. That was my entry point into Exploited. But I got to tell you, Fuck the System is a tremendous record, and I'm a little bit concerned that it's been like almost 20 years since you released it.
There's loads of reasons why we've never wrote any more music. The last 20 years I've had two guitar players called Robbie and Matt. Mm-hmm. Robbie was in the band, he'd leave, then Matt would join the band, then Matt would leave, then Robbie would join the band again, then Matt would leave, then Robbie would stood in it again for him, and then in January there, we just got a new guitar player for the first time in 20 years. And so in the last 20 years, we've wrote loads of songs with other guitar players, but we just I don't know. The last 6 years, I've had like really bad health, we've had heart attacks in the hospitals, and just been totally fucked health wise.
You've had other priorities.
I totally. But we've got in reality we've got recorded on my brother's computer. We've got about 16 really good songs, like actually good. We've heard them for a while. We've heard them for years now. We've got about 16 really good tunes, like music wise. But I need to spend some time actually going write some lyrics. Mm-hmm. And once we get a guitar, like I say, we just got a new guitar player, so we've been practicing with him for the last month, like once a week, once twice a week, we're practicing with him to try to get all the songs, try to get enough songs for this tour. He needs to learn 25 songs he needs to learn for the set, for the tour. So lately, like last year we've done a lot of gigs last year, South America and America, Canada, all over Europe.
Yep.
And that's finished in December. And this year we'll go to Australia, New Zealand, and we'll go back for 3 days. Then we'll go to Russia for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go 10 days, then we'll be to Europe again for 3 weeks. So it's quite hard to, by then we need to have a rest, then maybe go in the... Then try and maybe try for a few practices with the new guitars and try to fix some songs. It's a little bit harder.
Well, fortunately/unfortunately, your songs can be, you know, the subject matter remains very relevant no matter what generation it is.
It's like I say, if I wanted to put an album out and make money, I could do it tomorrow, eh? But then it'd just be like, it wouldn't be 100%.
Yeah.
And I'll never ever do that. I've never ever done that. It's like, we've always taken, like, in the past, we've always taken about 5 years, between 4 or 5 years between this album. Mm-hmm. And I only ever do records that are 100%, the best it can be. because each album I've done, I've tried to make it better than the last one. And the last two albums we've done, Beat the Bastards and Fuck the System, were massive hits. And sold fucking hundreds of thousands of records. And so the next album is going to aim to try and be better than the last one. And that's what we aim for. That's what I aim to do.
Yeah, that's a high bar. Those last two records are great.
But I really do. I'm getting on in my life. So the next album we do, it's going to be the last. It will be the last Exploited album. So I hope to do another album. But I can't say when. If it's going to happen, it'd probably be the end of the year or next year at the earliest.
Now, a question for you. Back in the mid-80s, there was a live record recorded, and I believe it was around the time of the Apocalypse Tour 91 LP, but it was a different song set, and there were only a few test pressings made. Do you recall that?
No. What was it called?
It was a live album, apparently for Chaos Records. It's called the Chaos LP, where test pressings were made. It looked like a record was about to come out, but it never did.
Never heard yet.
Oh, okay. Apparently there's about...
This was more exploitation.
It does. Well, that's what I was curious as to whether you guys even knew about it. It was, it's called the...
There was a cassette called Live with the Apocalypse. But then the Apocalypse No Tour, we asked Discharge and it passed it. I know there was cassettes going about with that. Cassettes, that's a long ago. That was a long time ago, it was cassettes. I never seen the album, but I did the live album that we done was live at a nightclub in Edinburgh. That was on the Exploited Records, and I had to buy it for fucking, and that sold like hundreds of thousands of records, and I had to buy it fucking, and that's when you were asking about the police earlier, and the guy at dinner, I used to, back then. We were like on the dole, and then everybody thought we were getting loads of money, and this guy was ripping us off. So the CID, which is like the fucking, it's not a murder fucking detectors, but it's like serious crime. And I'd call, see, you see, I was going to come and set fire to his house. we got ripped off for fucking hundreds of thousands of pounds, and we started just because we were naive. And the only way we could get back at these people was through violence. It's been threatened on. So back then I was a bit of a fucking loose cannon.
Did you have to rough some people up to get paid?
Aye. I got to the door with baseball bats and empty their house and stuff. The guy thought it started war. Like, after we left Secret Records, we were probably dead. The guy took over and said, we'll get thousands of pounds if I split the band up. I said, fucking no danger. And there's a song called Happy Talk by Captain Sensible. Don't even hear that. Mm-hmm. There's an old song with it. Right? And he wanted me to do stuff like that.
Oh.
And offered me thousands of pounds. I was getting £30 a week from the dole. And they offered me thousands of pounds to do stuff like that. I said, stick up your ass. I'm not doing that. I'm not changing my music. I'm not changing fucking. I'm not doing this shit. So we stopped our money. So after we left Secret Records, but loads of record companies wanted to sign us. There's a guy called Marcus Featherby. Mm-hmm. He had a record company called Pax Records. I want to do cheap records and that kind for the punks and blah blah blah, and you know, on this punk ideology and that. So I thought, okay, we'll sign with them. So when let's see your records, we got ripped off for hundreds of thousands of pounds. But after 10 years, I've been a nut, the deluded fucking crazy guy. I didn't let it go. So I'm gonna let this go. Forget about the past, because that's fucking, and learn from mistakes. And start doing business a bit better, music-wise, for the business side. And so, this guy, beside the Pax record, and I believe I shook hands with him, and I believed what he told me. So we didn't let start a war, and then he gave us a check for 1,200 pounds. He gave us a check for. It's a lot of money, but it's a lot of money when you're on the door. We get £30. So, like, oh yeah, I've got a check for two. So we done this gig in Manchester, and we went to a party after the show. Somebody broke into the van, stole our gig money and stole some of our equipment. So we drove to this guy's Marcus Ferriby. He lived in a place called Sheffield. So we drove to Snowbird. So Marcus gave us at least 40 pounds to get back up to Edinburgh. So he goes, aye, so he gave us the money for petrol. He gave us a check of £1,200. He gave us a check for Let's Start a War. Right, so fucking a week later, yeah, I got a bit for the bank. Well, the check bounced. What are you talking about? The check bounced. So this guy gave us a check. He moved house from Sheffield to Bristol. It took me 6 months to find where he lived. And then we were playing Bristol, so after the show, we went to baseball bats and fucking balaclavas. I could have got jailed for 5 years. But we went to this guy's door. A young guy, 15-year-old, answered the door. 14-year-old, sorry, answered the door. And we just stopped in. Where's Marcus? And the guy's like, it's not here. I mean, you've got 20 seconds to tell us where his room is, or we're going to fucking smash and take everything at your house. So the guy told us what room he was in. We went to his room, emptied everything he owned. We put in the back of the van, everything we owned, right? And the principal being was like, this guy, I believed in what he told us about his punk where the punk records are and all his fucking his values in life. And we shook hands with that. And like that, although I'd been up to for hundreds of thousands of pounds before, the thing with Marcus was that it was personal because he fucking, he knew what we'd been through and how much I thought about liars and trusting people. And for him to bump us and him to do that was fucking, that made me more deranged than fucking than getting up to for all that money before. We go through his 40 album. There's all these pictures of this fucking him and young, all these young kids. The guy was a pedo. Oh. He's a 40 by these young kids and that. And I should have went. He could have went to the police, but I'm not a fucking grass. But he could have went to the police and fucking got him done. Fucking. And the last thing I heard was he works for the BBC and he changed his name by Deadpool. I don't know how I got sidetracked into that story.
No, I got most of it.
But that's the type of thing we've to deal with in the past, eh? Like fucking people ripped us off. Trips tomorrow. Like fucking, I got ripped off for a minimum. I know for a fact, minimum. I got paid £200,000 for that. That was in the '80s. That's a fucking. I couldn't imagine that much money. Fucking, it's like I was getting £30 a week of the dole, and I should be getting £200,000 for this one album. Yeah. But it ripped off. So in the early days, for the first 10 years, there was a struggle. I was really a fucking demented person because everyone thought I had loads of money and I'd absolutely fuck all. Getting back to like the albums, it's like so. So I went for the Massacre and then beat the Bastards and Fuck the System. I made a lot of money for the albums. Mm-hmm. Made good money for them.
That's great.
And we spent a fortune on the last one albums. But like I say, the last album took 2 years and then it was studios. Mm. And it's a bit like, and we went and got loads of debt because of the album, but at the end of the day, we always put good records that people like. I don't just do things to make money. Well, see, I could put an album out tomorrow and make a lot of money, but I wouldn't be happy. So Mm-hmm. I would never do that.
Well, let me tell you, you know, a lot of artists out there, they have their best work early in their career, and the rest of the years are spent trying to catch up or live up to the legacy that they created early. But these albums, Beat the Bastards, Fuck the System, really are a high watermark for the Exploited. And I love the stuff, Let's Start a War, and you know, some of the early stuff, Punk's Not Dead, Troops of Tomorrow. But Beat the Bastards and Fuck the System are tremendous. And that's why I'm excited. I want to hear if you got one more record in you, Waddy.
Well, the songs, like I say, we've wrote over all these years, although we've never put any records out, we've got loads of good tunes. We've kept at least 16 songs, at least 16 songs to work on that are fucking really good, as good as the last albums. Mm-hmm. But I just need to put lyrics to it, and then we need to go, obviously, we'll have to go there. We'll get guitar fixed to it. The next album will be as good, will be better than the last one. That's what I aim for all the time. Obviously, I make the last ones, you've got to make it better. That's what you've got to aim for, that's my principles. I could put albums out all the time, but I want to put albums out and I just think, fuck it, it's rubbish. How can that be so shit when the last one was good?
That's right. You gotta keep getting better.
I'll never do that because the people that follow us and believe in us, I'd be exploiting them, pardon the pun, and that would never happen. Mm-hmm. That's my whole life with the music, with the band, I've always been 100% honest and done the best that I can. Mm-hmm. And that would never change.
Do you still play vinyl records? Do you have a record collection?
Yeah. Got a record player. Yeah.
Tell me about it. What do you listen to? What do you got in that record collection?
What have I got? The last record I got was a band called Made of Ace. The English band, girl band from England. They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. They set me up on it. And the last album I got before that was a band called The Casualties. American punk band.
Yep.
That was the last two vinyl albums I bought. I've got over 600 albums, but a lot of them in my garage. I've not got room to put them everywhere. Loads of records in my loft and the fucking. I've always had vinyl. I prefer vinyl to like anything else. Maybe I know it was just old school, but like.
Yeah.
I prefer vinyl to DVDs or CDs.
Absolutely. I think this sounds way better. If a punk band nowadays, a young punk band, comes to you and gives you one of their records or asks you for your opinion, will you listen to it and give it to them?
Always.
Yeah.
When we were away, we were in a tour, my brother, one of the band's, a young friend's band, gave us a single way. He was one to get a band. I mean, say, point, get, and my brother said, what are you taking it for? Boy? You've got a fucking record player. Get the guy back. If somebody gives me a record or a CD or a DVD or that to the band, I always listen to it. And I always tell them if it was good or bad. I always say it was good. If it's shit, I always say it's shit. But if something's good, I will tell them. Hey, say I like that or this. But
if it needs work, you'll tell them that too.
Yeah. But I always listen. Anything I get recognised of people who's getting to me because it's a big deal to them to get to me, uh-huh. I always listen to it. Sometimes it takes me about fucking about 12 hours or something. I'll come back for two and I've already seven CDs with bands and that, or records that, and I'll just have to listen to it like a lot. And what I do is I'll listen to them. If something's really good, I'll stick it on my player. On my phone, I'll stick up my tunes. If something's good, that's what I do. If something's good, if I get a record, there's a whole album, there's one or two good tracks, and I'll take the tracks and tell them I like that. That's pretty good. That.
Oh, Waddy, let me tell you, I know I've taken enough of your time right now, but I got to tell you, it's so refreshing to be able to speak with you, and you're so truly authentic, and the fact that you're still with us these days really makes me happy, and I'm glad that you're getting healthy and you're going to stick around for a little while longer, and I got to tell you, I can't wait to see you guys here in Australia. For the listeners, I want to let everyone know the Exploited is down under for much of the month of March, starting in New Zealand, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, then heading over to the West Island for shows in Gold Coast, Brisbane, Sydney, Narrabeen, Newcastle, Canberra, Melbourne, Geelong, Adelaide, and Perth. You guys are really doing it proper here.
Well, it's good. I'm glad.
Oh, man.
I'm glad because, like, fuck it, it's like a 26, what is it, 20, it's over 26 hour flying to come to get there.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time.
Yeah, in fact, longer than 26, we've got like a 6 hour flight, then a 2 hour wait, then a 16.5 hour flight, then a 7 hour wait, then a 2 hour flight. So it better be worth it.
Hey, the audience will be there. You guys just bring the show. That's fine. We'll have a good time. Waddy, thank you so much for joining. Well, originally I'm from California. But I've lived here in Australia.
I thought you had an accent.
Yeah, I lived here in Sydney for about 20 years now. So, Yeah, same way you have a tough time getting rid of the Scottish accent, I have a hard time getting rid of the California accent.
I can't get rid of this. It's just like Mongol talk. Yeah?
It's baked in. No, that's fine.
Take care, man. Bye.
Wow, there he is, the legend, Waddy of the Exploited. Mate, long may you run. I'm glad you're getting healthy, and hopefully we're going to have you around for a bit longer and maybe even another album or two. I'm going to put that out there, and hopefully the universe will provide. And if you are in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you see the Exploited live. They're down here for much of the month of March. Tons of cities, tons of shows. Go to davidroywilliams.com for ticket links, or Google The Exploited Australia, New Zealand. You'll get the ticket links there. Heaps of shows. I may go to a few of them. There's Sydney, Narrabeen, Canberra, all within driving distance. Guys, if you are around any of the cities that The Exploited is playing, make sure you check them out. It's going to be an amazing show. All right, that's it for this week's episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Please share this on your social media. Tweet it. Put it on Facebook, Instagram. Just show your friends how to get to this podcast on their smartphones. I do appreciate it. And we'll be back with a brand new episode shortly. So until we talk next time, keep spinning. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.